This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Thursday to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us here on The Doc. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Coming up this morning here on The DA Show, can you say Joe Montana? Four-time Super Bowl champion, three-time Super Bowl MVP, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, a member of the NFL's all-time 100 team, and as I duck fruit coming from New England, an argument could be made, the greatest quarterback ever. Oop, there just went an old sour bowl of clam chowder right over my head. He's going to join us next hour here on the show, Joe Montana, on the program next hour. Also, 2 hours from now, Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman, a member of SiriusXM's Pac-12 radio. We'll talk to him about the Pac-12 following the Big Ten's lead and no fall football. This hour, in 20 minutes, we are stunned to a news. And in 40 minutes, is the NFL proving that the season not only can get off on time, but also can be completed. That plus Canadian bacon next hour as Connor Green whips us around the day in the NHL's playoffs. But this hour, let's start with the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Because when the vote came down among the 14 member institutions of the Big Ten, 12 schools reportedly voted to cancel fall football and reassess maybe making it spring football. Two schools wanted to still play this fall, Nebraska and Iowa. Now, once the Big Ten decided not to play fall football, Nebraska and Iowa had to fall in line, except Nebraska did not. Scott Frost, notably their head coach, who's a Nebraska football legend after being a player, was very vocal that, you know what, maybe we don't need the Big Ten then. Maybe we'll just play our own schedule. Maybe we'll join the Big 12 for this fall season. And Nebraska essentially held an anti-Big Ten pep rally. Power to the people! Down with the king! We want to play in the fall! Which, on some level, I get. You know, it's like you're 18 years old and your parents tell you to do something and you go, no, but I'm 18. I could be sent to war. I should be able to make my own decisions. And your parents go like, no, you're going to have to do this even though you think you're an adult. Even though maybe legally you are an adult, you can't do that. Nebraska's like, we can do what we want. We're Nebraska. And again, I understand some of this because if you're Nebraska and you go, our goals don't align, our beliefs don't align, what our reality doesn't align with our conference, you might stamp your feet and rebel and say, this isn't fair. You can't tell me what to do. But unlike an 18-year-old that legally does have autonomy, Nebraska can't have the autonomy if they want their allowance. If they want their allowance from mom and dad, they don't have autonomy. And this is where Nebraska tried to fight two sides of a different battle. We want to do what we want to do. We want to have our own freedom. We don't need the Big Ten. We'll just go to the Big 12. And we want all the money next year that comes with being in the Big Ten. And we don't want to permanently go to the Big 12. We just want to do this for like one season. Didn't we mention we don't want to do this permanently? We want to still be in the Big Ten. We mentioned we're still in the Big Ten like after this season, right? And that's not how this is going to work. The Big Ten has one of the two biggest payouts of any conference in America. And the payout that the Nebraska Cornhuskers get from the Big Ten is healthily, mightily, more than it would be in the Big 12, which, oh, by the way, is why they left in the first place. Nebraska had age-old rivalries in the Big 12, namely with Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Kansas State. Missouri did leave, but Nebraska's heart, the Big 8 and the Big 12, they've been in that conference forever. And they decided that they would leave a number of years ago. Why? The money was better. If the money was better in the Big 12, they would have stayed in the Big 12. But they left because the money was better in the Big 10. And the Big 10 called them on this. If you want to play fall football and you want to put together your independent schedule or join the Big 12 if they go ahead and play fall football, you're not a Big 10 member anymore. Choose. And Nebraska had to say, oh, well, fine. And they muttered and mumbled back to their room.
Fine. So not fair.
And really what they did was they kind of put on a show without thinking it through. It was kind of a pep rally without thinking it through. I've been to Nebraska games. They're amazing. Cornhusker fans are amazing. Lincoln on game day is just so awesome. And sitting in that stadium and seeing the red and hearing the chants and the crowd, man, it's an all-time sports experience. I loved it. I loved it. I went to a couple of games when I lived in Kansas City, and I just had the best time. But I'm here to tell you that Nebraska played the fool here. Because what they did was they stomped their feet and then they went to school and they said, Mom and Dad are so unfair. After saying, you know what? I don't care what Mom and Dad says. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. And they did it to rile up their fans. They did it to score some brownie points with their fans who want them to play. And Scott Frost wants to play. So he's going to vent. Oh, this is so unfair. We're going to do what we want to do. But ultimately, Nebraska bought in to the Big Ten for financial reasons. And they can't give that up now. That's a big fat payday. And the Big Ten's not subtly going to say, yeah, you know what? 13 of our schools will do one thing, but you, Nebraska, you go ahead and do whatever you want. And whenever you're done with that, you can come back to us. Hell no. A $50 million annual check that the Big Ten issues all of its schools just in television contracts? $50 million a year just from TV money. They would go, yeah, okay, Nebraska, you can go to the Big 12 and we'll just keep your $50 million and spread it out amongst the other 13 schools. We certainly wouldn't mind because I hate to break this to Nebraska, but Big Ten doesn't need Nebraska. Nebraska brings a great tradition, but Nebraska football doesn't mean that the Big Ten's any more strong, any more wealthy. I mean, Nebraska brings a state of tradition and it brings the Omaha TV market, but by and large, the Big Ten can survive and thrive without the Omaha TV market. So they don't need Nebraska, and they would happily keep the $50 million. So Nebraska doing what they did, I thought looked silly. I really did. I thought it looked silly. Because ultimately, when push came to shove, they couldn't leave that check on the table. Well, I'm going to move out then, Mom and Dad. If you're going to tell me what to do, I'm going to move out. And then they looked at it. They're like, well, I can't stay at Tommy's house. And Richie's mom said, I can't stay there either. I don't have a job. I don't really know how to, like, sign a lease. And Mom and Dad pay for my gas in the car, so. Right, fine. After they yelled and screamed and said, we will not be pushed around. Down with the king! Which is what's very funny about, you know, so many kind of fights with authority. No way! I don't like you! No way! I want autonomy! Oh, wait a second. You're really helping me out. I don't have the stomach for this. Okay. I thought Nebraska looked silly. And when they said, I think the quote that Bogish read was, it's not allowable or something like that. Yeah, if you want $50 million a year from the Big Ten's TV pie, yeah, it's not allowable. You can't just leave and do your own thing for a year and then come back and get $50 million next year. So I thought it looked silly, and it is what it is for the Big Ten. It's what you signed up for. You know, do you think that every single decision that is made for this show, I have autonomy over? Of course not. Do you think there might be a few decisions that the bosses told me we have to do that I disagree with? Of course. And have there been times over the course of my career where I could become an independent contractor, do it myself, I'll do my own radio show on my own platform, and I'll do it my way? Yeah, I could have. And guess what I keep coming back to? Look, you've got to work within your constraints, and sometimes you got to eat a decision because that's just the way that it goes for the greater good of what you're trying to accomplish. And by and large, I'm very happy at CBS Sports Radio. They allow me amazing liberties and amazing freedom. They let me do the show that I really want to do by and large. You hear this show, and this is the way the show is formatted in my brain for the most part. And I wouldn't get that opportunity at a lot of places. So I am very thankful. They've believed in the show. We used to be the overnight show, and now we're Morning Drive. That's been a lot of faith and a lot of support over 8 years on this network. And along the way, there's been some decisions that I have disagreed with. But I look at the bigger picture and say, yeah, but it's been like this and like this and like this in my corner when I needed it. So I'm not going to sit here and stamp my feet and throw a temper tantrum and be a child and try to make a big scene out of things that I disagree with. I'm going to try to navigate within those things as a professional and say, okay, if we can't do this, what can we do? What's the solution? And if I don't like something, okay, I'm not always going to win every battle. And Nebraska made a scene even though they had no stomach to actually leave. They knew they weren't going to leave the Big Ten. They knew they weren't going to leave $50 million a year on the table. Look, there's two conferences right now that pay out more than any other conference, the Big Ten and the SEC. And if we ever had another round of realignment, guess what two conferences aren't getting picked apart? The Big Ten and the SEC. You want to leave one of those two? I doubt it. It's why Nebraska left the Big 12 to go to the Big 10. More stability, more wealth. You know, if you're in that party, you're not getting shoved out. They're not shutting down that party. So to act like you're these big bad rebels, we're going to do what we want to do, it was always, to me, very silly. And, you know, I thought it was kind of petulant to see that maneuver by Nebraska. And now they're back, and they're going to sit there and eat it, and they're going to do what the conference says because they opted into this deal, and it's too good a deal not to. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, we are stunned to a news more bear in the news. And I got to get to this Zach Greinke story as well because I absolutely love this. He was tipping his own pitches last night to prove to batters that just being an Astro doesn't mean you have a competitive advantage. It was awesome. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's new on CBS.
We've got it all together.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And this weekend on CBS, the PGA Tour is back on the course. Players teeing off for the oldest golf tournament in North Carolina, the Wyndham Championship. Live coverage begins Saturday, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, only on CBS. Thanks so much for being with us. A reminder, you can watch the show every morning. Go to watchda.com on any device. Just type in the URL, and it's free. No subscription, no sign-up needed. Also, you can watch us on Twitch. Our Twitch channel is CBS Sports Radio, so check us out there as well. Or if you have got the radio.com app, which is free, it's great for podcasts, but also if you click on the DA Show, you'll be able to watch us inside that app as well. Watch us every single morning, 6 until 10 Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio. Dixie Landan tweets, DA, you guys get about 99% free reign. Bunny suit, salsa bet, big fat guys eating wings and hot dogs, conversations about bears with tails, a number retired for a guy with a crappy karaoke voice, eating a damn crow. This show has more freedom than any other at CBS, and we love it. And you're absolutely right, Dan, and it's something I never take for granted, ever. Because once you get to a certain level in sports media, and I think media in general, there's more and more control over the product. You know, when I was doing local radio, I knew that there was very little oversight, especially when I was on a day part, that they didn't really care about, that ratings weren't that interesting. You know, I did nights in Kansas City. I did nights in Miami. I'll never forget, you know, in Miami, there is an FCC regulation where most radio stations in America have to power down at sunset. That allows a few quote-unquote clear channel stations, not the company, but this is a type of radio signal, to be broadcast far more broadly for emergency situations, that you would then have kind of a streamlined series of radio stations nationally that if there was an emergency, you would hear at night so that they could streamline the message under emergency situations. So the station that I was at in Miami was not one of those, so we had to power down at night, as most radio stations do. So you could not hear us in the normal parts of town. And our signal was also a signal in Cuba. They, of course, did not have to power down. So when I was doing nights in Miami, there was about 80% of the normal audience couldn't hear me because you would hear state-run Cuban radio over top my show. Now, imagine what that did for ratings. Imagine what that did for the interest in my show. You ever want to know how to get your ego cut right down so that you don't think you're that big a deal? Is that you go to work every single night and you know that you're hitting 20% of the audience the radio station normally does, and that the people that can hear you might instead be hearing state-run Cuban radio. I knew I had free reign there because nobody was listening, including my bosses. So it didn't matter. But you get to a certain level, and of course, everything means more and matters more. So I agree We have far more liberty and freedom here on this show than I think most hosts and shows are afforded, and I appreciate that very much. And you could only imagine what this show would look like if I had 100% freedom. It would really be a gong show.
But, DA, I will say that even though our signal is stronger than appears to have been for you in Florida, I don't think that we have any kind of interference
slightly
from Cuba.
Yeah.
The bosses still aren't listening, which partly explains the level of freedom that we enjoy
done for
on this show. Girlfriend!
Zach Greinke last night, you know, that all of the Astros are PO'd because the league thinks that they cheated, of course, which they did, and that assisted them in their World Series championship, and that now, because they're just back to having to play clean, that they're going to get whacked around, they're going to lose games, and they're not going to be World Series champs anymore. And to a certain degree, that is happening this year, where the Astros come into the season as World Series contenders, and right now, they're really mediocre. They're not very dangerous, they're not very good, and they're not a team that feels like they're hitting on all cylinders, and you wonder how much of their mojo has been taken away because they're no longer allowed the same liberty, speaking of, that they had before the league came down on them. And for the Astros team that was sub 500, still is 8-10, this has been a real frustrating start to the season. So last night in Houston, they are hosting the San Francisco Giants. And Zach Greinke goes up there, takes the hill, and goes, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm going to tip my pitches purposefully. Now, because there's no fans in attendance, the mics could pick up everything. And he can be heard on microphone at the stadium, changing his signs verbally instead of shaking off his catcher or agreeing to the sign. He is openly telling his catcher what he wants to throw and then throws it. Greinke ends up holding the Giants to one run over 6 1/3 innings for his first win of the season. He began giving hand signals to his catcher, Martin Maldonado, with runners on second earlier this year just to speed up the game. So he's out there going, you know what? I'm just telling everybody what I'm doing. You go ahead and try to hit it. And Greinke was amazing. And the Giants still couldn't hit him. And this is the type of guy Zach Greinke is. He is just a totally different cat. When he was with the Royals, one of my favorite things to do was in spring training to sit down for a long form interview with Zach Greinke. And if you could find the audio files on the internet and they exist somewhere, maybe I'll try to dig them up and post them on YouTube. They are amazingly entertaining because he marches to the beat of a different drummer. He is in his own Greinke world. We used to call him a little wacko Zacko because he just has a hint of crazy in him. And it is wildly fascinating and entertaining and amazing. And he's a great pitcher, obviously. Great. But he also just is like, you know what? Whatevs. I'm going to do it my way. Whatevs. He's allowed 3 earned runs over his last 3 starts, over 18 innings. Dusty Baker's manager says, you probably won't ever see another Zach Greinke in your lifetime or mine either. And he's absolutely right. Last night, he's telling the hitters what he's going to throw, and then they still can't hit it. I mean, AB, what a great baseball story.
Happy to be here.
The video of him, a close-up of his face from like the third base dugout, talking to himself, to Martin Maldonado, a mile a minute. I don't know if maybe Maldonado couldn't read the signs, but his mouth is just going. He's not even yelling. He's just talking like it's an open stream of consciousness. And then he's like considering the pitches in his head. I mean, the guy's a treasure. I mean, he's just remarkable. My favorite Greinke story, by the way, is from a book when he was a Dodger. Molly Knight wrote it, and they're in the middle of an important team meeting discussing like real baseball things, and then the floor is open for everyone to talk, and he stands up and goes, guys, I've noticed that a lot of you are not washing your hands after going number 2, So if we could please do a better job of doing that, I'd really appreciate it. Thanks. Like, that was what's on his mind in the middle of a team meeting, because he's just out there. He's just out there, and it's amazing to watch.
Yep. Planet Zach is an amazing place to visit, and when you finally get some little insights to it, it's just amazing. Last night, telling the Giants hitters what he's going to throw, and then throws him, and they still can't hit him. On the phones, 855-212-4CBS. Andy's in Kansas City. Andy, good morning. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
When you're talking about Nebraska and Scott Frost, I think you were kind of misrepresenting what happened, in my opinion. You know, the Big Ten, of course, had their meetings about what was going to happen with football, and Scott Frost was just having a press conference. There was no pep rally. It's not like there was, you know, thousands of people waiting around, you know, in a location to see what happened. Like, he had a press conference and announced, you know, that he would seek other options to play football. Call it whining or complaining, that's here and there. But keep in mind that Ryan Day came out and said the same exact thing as well, that Ohio State is exploring other options to play too, yet everybody seems to forget that Ohio State, you know, said the same exact thing. And
well, a couple of things here, and that's fair. I wasn't really talking about Ryan Day. I'm just talking about Scott Frost here. So let's just focus on Nebraska.
Know, why aren't we talking about Ryan Day? Because it's Ohio State, and people don't want to talk bad about Ohio State.
Oh, I have no problem criticizing Ohio State. Have in the past, have in the future, will again. Don't worry about that. But you know that when I called a pep rally, that Scott Frost was doing this because he knew that his audience wanted him to do it. I mean, Nebraska fans want to play this fall, like a lot of football fans do.
Yeah.
And his AD was supporting him. Even before this decision was made, they were openly talking about kind of like they don't want to follow that lead. They want to do their own thing. So, well, you're right. Literally, there wasn't thousands of fans with you know, pom-poms out.
Right.
He definitely was playing to his fan base. He definitely, and his AD and the athletic department were as well. And I thought that it was hypocritical because, you know, Nebraska left for the Big Ten. They wanted to be in the Big Ten, and now suddenly they were like, no, we don't want to follow the Big Ten's rules. Well, you know, you kind of chased the Big Ten.
Yeah. Well, I think he realizes, too, that if other conferences are playing, you're going to lose 30 players to the transfer portal this year.
Agreed. I agree.
You know,
and this is why I disagree with the Big Ten doing what they did. As I said yesterday, I thought it was premature. I think the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 are taking the smarter tact to wait and see. And if you've got to make a decision ultimately that you can't play in the fall, fine. But I think you have a lot of time to actually come to that decision.
Well, and I don't think he was saying that we want out of the Big Ten. I think he just said that we want to play football. He doesn't care against who, but we want to play football this fall. It wasn't a we want out of the Big Ten. It was just we want to play football.
I think, though, that would you agree that Scott Frost has done a pretty good job ever since he got to Lincoln of kind of like puffing out his chest and saying, like, we're the Huskers. We play by Husker rules. We're Nebraska, and we're great, and we're going to be great again. And he does have a tough guy thing, and that worked at UCF, and it could work again at Nebraska. I thought it felt defiant the way that he was saying, you know, we're kind of not going to follow what the conference says. We want to do our own thing.
I agree with coming in with a little swagger, which I don't think is a bad thing. I don't know if I'd agree with the fact that he's trying to be defiant.
Okay, well, that's fair, and I appreciate the phone call, Andy. I think that swagger and that bravado, you know, it helps and hurts. It helps when you're trying to bring a once-great program back, and then it hurts when you've kind of got to play that card because that's who you are when you're going against what your conference's plan is. And ultimately, it's not realistic for Nebraska or Ohio State to play outside of the Big Ten. It's just not. It is not realistic at all, and neither one of them should have bellyached or whined that they couldn't do their own thing because both of them always benefit from the wealth of being in the Big Ten, of the popularity of the Big Ten. And, you know, they both are incredible beneficiaries of being in one of the most powerful college football conferences in America. And then when it didn't cut their way, you know, it became, how unfair is this? And that's, I guess that's my bigger point. AB has our headlines this morning. Bogues, what do we got?
DA, these ones are sponsored by Geico, who has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility.
This doesn't happen!
Back to college football. The Big 12 is on Team Play Football Now, formally announcing yesterday it still intends on playing this fall, just like the SEC and ACC. The Big 12 releasing revised schedules yesterday. Games now begin at the end of September. Schools still playing 9 neighbors plus 1 outsider. They each have 2 weeks off in case they need to reschedule games, and the conference title game can be December 12th or 19th. Ohio State head coach Ryan Day wants the Big 10 to come up with a plan for spring football immediately. Day thinks they can play 8 or 9 games starting in January. That would allow prospects to then prep for the NFL draft. Day also wants recruits who enroll for the second semester to be able to play in these games. 49ers tight end George Kittle apparently on the verge of a mega extension. SI reported yesterday it was done, but Kittle himself shot that down on social media. Now NFL Network says they are close and the agreement will make Kittle the highest paid tight end in history. As we know, the Yankees ruin everything because they have to keep winning 6-3 over the Braves last night. They remain atop the AL East, which keeps the Rays in second place and the Orioles in third, not in playoff position at the moment. But Baltimore will not give up.
And this one is clobbered to right field. It's going to get out. Forget about it. Chancisco greets Adam Morgan rudely here in the seventh inning, and it's a 5-3 Baltimore lead.
As heard
lead
on O's radio, I believe they are calling Chancisco Cisco Inferno on Baltimore radio these days.
I'm into that.
His two homers helped the O's get a 5-4 win in Philly last night. That's a 4-game win streak for them. Plus, they were leading in that game on Sunday that got suspended in Washington because the tarp crew was a disaster for the Nats. The Cubs were 7-2 winners last night in Cleveland. 12-3 matches their best start in the last 50 years. The Royals held off the Reds 5-4, KC's won 5-6, and the Dodgers shut out the Padres 6-0. L.A. reliever Joe Kelly reportedly had his 8-game suspension for picking a fight with the Astros reduced to 5 games on appeal. Russell Westbrook has a strained right quad. The Rockets will hold him out of their seeding finale tomorrow, then reevaluate him early next week for the playoffs. The Clippers downed the Nuggets last night 124-111 and clinched the 2 seed in the West. They'll face the Mavs in round 1. And Giannis gets a 1-game suspension for headbutting Washington's Mo Wagner 2 days ago. Giannis will miss today's game with Memphis. The St. Louis Blues still haven't won in the NHL's restart, 0-4 after dropping game 1 to Vancouver last night 5-2. The Flyers, meanwhile, are 4-0 after taking game 1 from Montreal 2-1. And Nashville SC with a 1-0 win at FC Dallas as the MLS regular season slowly resumes. And now, bear with me, we're stunned again.
Woo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
DA, we mentioned bear attacks yesterday and the floodgates open. Listeners sending us other bear-themed stories. I got this one from more than one of our friends. This video is all over the web. A bear wanders out of the woods right up to a family having lunch at a picnic table. And instead of doing any of the things that we told them to do yesterday in a bear encounter, they didn't get up and walk slowly away sideways. They didn't stand tall and make noises. They didn't sing songs like you've done to bears. They stayed at the picnic table and gave the bear a PB&J, and
wow,
the bear happily took it and didn't kill them.
Wow. You see that? All the bears are looking for is a snack, and as long as
yeah,
you give them a snack, they're going to be happy. They're going to leave you alone.
There are others. In Juneau, Alaska, a pizza delivery dude's car got trashed, and I mean trashed by a bear, because authorities assumed the bear smelled pizza in the delivery car and wanted some. But I mean, the seats are ripped up, door panelings are gone. It looks like they were prepping the car to like hide drugs in it to drive it across the border. But this bear just ripped it to shreds looking for pizza.
What kind of car was it? Because I'd like to know what type of car a bear can absolutely maul in Alaska.
It was not new, and it was little, so it seems it was Jocalone sized. It was a Jocalone of cars, so it seemed easily beatable for a bear, and he definitely won the encounter.
So an older sedan in Juneau, Alaska stands no chance for a grizzly bear if he smells pepperoni and a large pie inside that trunk.
If you've got a mid-90s Subaru hatchback, you need to not carry pizza in that in Juneau, Alaska.
Now, was the pizza still in there, or this was the resonating or the after effects of the smell of it?
That's a really fair question that I don't have the answer to. I don't know if the bear actually got a pizza or the damage to the car was so extensive because he was looking so much for a pizza that wasn't there.
That's what I'm saying. If there is a large pie in the back seat, maybe it's got anchovies on it to help the bear since he likes fish, and he can easily just open up that door, get in there, he's going to be happy and leave, and probably leave that Subaru hatchback and it's going to be fine. But the fact that he smelled the pizza and couldn't get the pizza, that is what really angered this grizzly bear. And that's why he had to trash this thing top to bottom. Beware pizza delivery guys in Alaska.
Our last bear nugget this morning is also from Alaska. Brandon McVeigh and a buddy apparently fought off a bear that entered that friend's home. There were 10 kids inside, too.
Wow.
They were shuffled to a back room, locked in there by a mom, while these two guys fought a bear. Now, they tried to do the things that we told them to do, make noise, be strong, and the bear stood up and swatted this guy.
Oh!
He has three puncture wounds and some scratches. He says he landed a stiff elbow while the bear was taking him to the ground, and the bear eventually got up and, like the Kool-Aid man, left through a wall.
He went
back out the house through a wall / window just for good measure.
Holy cow. This is like the great outdoors come to life. Big bear, big bear, big bear. That is so awesome. So, okay, where was the picnic bear that happily ate the PB&J and went on his way?
You know, the picnic bear story makes no mention of location or the family's name, nothing. It's just a video online, but it's a forest. It could be Berlin, there could be a fat naked guy next to them, or it could be America. I don't know.
Okay, because I was going to say we could see the difference of the types of bears when one enjoys a PB&J and leaves, and one enters a house, gets into a bar brawl with two guys and then leaves through a wall. That would be, I think, two different species of bears, I would say.
Yeah, so I guess maybe you need to scout the local area and know what your course of action is. Either run for your life or be stocked up on PB&Js.
Okay, I just got information that the picnic bear is in Maryland.
Okay.
So it goes to show you, mid-Atlantic bears, you're fine. You got a PB&J, maybe a beer, maybe a little high C for him. He's going to be okay. He's going to enjoy. He's going to go on his way right back out to Bethesda or somewhere. But if you're in Alaska, I'd really encourage you to be very careful, because the Alaskan bears, they can be a little more aggressive. Sometimes they can walk through your walls and tear apart your car if they smell pizza.
What a grizzly bear.
We're on in Maryland, in Baltimore. If any of these bears are hearing you, tell them that they're weaker than Alaska bears. We may have a little trip up north to teach you a lesson.
I could just get a knock on my door. they're here to rough me up. like I owed the mob my gambling money.
Oh.
Hey. Somebody told us you didn't find the Maryland bears all that tough.
Hey.
Hey, let us change your mind here.
Oh.
Step outside, would you? You'll barely survive. Oh, oh hey, oh, hey. Oh. You'll barely notice we're here after we break every bone in your human body. Hey, oh. Oh,
over here.
Classic case of where the bosses aren't listening. Okay. Thank you, AB. When we come back here on the DA show, is the NFL proving that they can actually complete a season? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
First of all, you are the dude, brother. You crushed old boy in the jungle with Rome. You are the dude.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on a Thursday. Next hour, Joe Montana joins us. Super amped up for Joe Montana, one of the greatest ever to do it, joining us here on the DA show. How cool is that? We'll talk to him about an unbelievable career and about Tom Brady changing teams at the end of his career, kind of like Joe did going over to the Kansas City Chiefs for his final two seasons. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico offered an extra 15% credit, car, motorcycle, RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Joe's going to join us coming up in a half hour from now. Speaking of the NFL, AB gave us these numbers earlier in the show, but they're worth repeating. The NFL issued a ton of tests, a ton of tests. And when they came back, they had less than half of 1% positives. And this is just starting the procedures. So this is coming from their normal lives before training camps opened up. And to have that low of a positive rate is amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, and it's significant because just yesterday was, I believe, the highest fatality total we've had so far in the U.S. from COVID, which was 1,500 deaths, I believe it was. So yesterday was a bad day for COVID fatalities, one of the worst. And yet it was a good day for the NFL because they released these findings that their positive tests are really, really low. And the NFL and NFLPA have agreed that they're going to extend daily testing through September 5th. Because the rate of positive tests were so low, they could have gone to less regular, semi-regular testing. It was going to be every couple of days or every other day, I believe, if the positive rate was below 5%. Well, it was well below 5%. So they could have then gone to semi-regular testing. But instead, both sides agreed, you know what? Let's keep doing daily testing. Let's keep it up. And I think that that's a great common ground to come to. Look, I'm sure it's not the most fun thing in the world. I have friends that are working in sports media or for sports teams or leagues that are inside bubbles now. The NBA, the NHL, the MLS had one, and they get tested constantly, and they say it's no fun. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but it's fine. But there's some discomfort. It's a little bit of an annoyance. You could imagine some of these players saying, you know what, do we need to keep doing this? But the fact that they're staying responsible and accountable and want to keep getting tested, to me, is a really good sign of the right direction. You know, the way to beat this as a country is to be willing to be slightly uncomfortable and to not just take for granted that you have the right to live the life that you've always lived. For these players, they've had to acquiesce. They've had to give something, which is you've got to get tested every single day and you've got to have a nasal swab or whatever they're going to do. You've got to wear the armband that means it buzzes when you're within 6 feet. It means that you have to be more accountable than maybe your neighbor, than maybe your friend, than maybe your wife, that you have to do things that are slightly uncomfortable. But if you do it, there's a bigger payoff. And I like that the NFL's doing this. I like that they're being successful. And if they're this accountable, this responsible, and this determined, maybe they can pull off an entire season.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.